Thank you, Captain.
All right, then, the fabricator, again, is responsible for his welders qualifying or not. Now, a customer will come to the fabricator, and that customer will tell this fabricator, I want so and such a product fabricated that requires considerable amount of welding. The customer will also have to tell this fabricator what the quality criteria is going to be. In a number of cases, he may say, well, I don't care. You know what you're doing, just go ahead and build the damn thing. This happens quite often. This is the thing that's referred to about, well, nobody has a handle on what's going on. Really, there are a number of people that have a handle on what's going on. As a matter of fact, Ken Lomax, who was just up here, indicating that ARCO is supportive of the Board of Examiners, is failing to recognize one thing that ARCO commits itself to, and that's working within the national accepted codes. They've done this when we were building the pipeline. Those nationally accepted codes lay out all of the criteria that fabrications have to be built to, and it has to be shame on the fabricator if he don't follow them. Now, there are federal regulatory methods that also tell the fabricator what he's got to fabricate and that, or how he has to fabricate, rather. And that is totally governed by the quality of the fabrication. In other words, what type of service it has to be built to. For example, no one is going to give too much of a hoot about how a sewage tank is welded. Since that thing's going in the ground and it's going to contain sewage, you're not going to be too concerned about the welding on that. You're not going to x-ray any of the welds. You won't be ultrasonic testing any of the welds. So for that reason, you have a given quality level requirement for that type of welding, right? All right, to turn this around now, and you're going to build a fuel tank. Now, you do have to be concerned about that tank. You do have to be concerned about the quality level. Again, the client that comes to this fabricator has already said in his specification requirements, Mr. Fabricator, this is the way you're going to build that sewage tank, or this is the way you're going to build that fuel tank. That's regulation. We heard the comment that industry will not regulate itself. Industry has been regulating itself, and that, as a matter of fact, is why we have such functions as the American Welding Society standards for welded fabrication. We have the American Society of Mechanical Engineers codes for pressure vessels and piping systems. We have the American Petroleum Institute standards for cross-country pipelines and related facilities. All of these codes, and those are only part of them, dictate in detail how the fabricator is going to build something. He doesn't need to be told by invite the states of Alaska or Washington or any other state that that's the way you got to do it. Because the systems are already there to regulate. It is not my intent to downgrade inspection. It's an absolute must and requirement, but in my considered judgment, it has to be put in its right perspective. And that is that it is a service that a firm, a company, has to have in-house, set up in-house, in order to monitor and watchdog its activity, to see to it, to verify that, yes, quality of the fabricated product is there or it is not. Period. That's it. Again, the paper license doesn't contribute anything to this. The thing that does contribute something to it is knowledge.
I have one question. Prior testimony has indicated that since the regulations have been in effect, welding has improved immeasurably in the state. What do you have to say to
that? I can't agree with that at all. At all. However, I will hastily add that since the introduction of the pipeline up here, welding in the state of Alaska most certainly has improved. And the reason for this is that there is one gentleman in particular responsible for the entire welding activity that established welding requirements that were far beyond and above even the code requirements that were applied to that pipeline. The result, the net result of that is that a number of firms here in the state doing business, as well as a number of them outside, had to sit up and take notice and say, well, good Lord, if we're going to build something for that pipeline, it's going to have to be better. And that is a fact.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rousseau. Appreciate your testimony. Mr. Long? Mr. Irvin Long of Arctic Foundation Incorporated.
Appreciate the opportunity to testify before you. I am a manufacturer of pressure vessels, thermal piles, and thermal ring piles. I did the original work, had the original patents. I've been working with it since 1956. Originally was with the Corps of Engineers. I'm basically a geotechnical engineer and developed it in that. In fact, although I did have an aeronautical background before going into geotechnical engineering. I contracted my early work through licensing to C.R. Lewis. However, at that time, the majority of the work was being done through the military. And as such, because I worked for the Corps, I provide a rather free license. When I retired from the Corps, one of the first things I wanted to do was to become more active in the organization to guarantee the product, because the problems that developed could not be controlled except by the manufacturer. Don Lockman mentioned the Tower of Bethel. That was one, although I was fabricating in Alaska in small diameter, I was contracting the larger diameter work out of Seattle, as I had contracted most of it since about 1972 through 1978. I've had contract work out of the same shop out of Seattle that took the most rigorous inspection by all the Alyeska inspectors. The particular job in question, I found out afterwards that the company was, one of the principals was gambling the money in the company and they had become shaky ground, but I had no idea. However, as in contracting the work, I was dependent on inspection, that they had to bring in inspection as required by the pressure vessel code by the pump, ASME code. The welding was done there. Say was disgraceful. It was done under inspection and the guy in the inspector's name was on the slips. The problem was in the shop in allowing that kind of work to be done, to allowing unqualified workers to do the work. I take my product out and either I or other contractors install them under buildings or around buildings. The cost to me in correcting a problem in the field is 10 to 100 times what good welding costs. At one time, I had people certified with the state card. And I had to let them go because of the high reject rate. I had better luck with some people from educated through the university where they actually underwent much more thorough training. They weren't perfect. Actually, it was only when I brought a welding engineer into my shop and trained them specifically to all the problems in the shop that I got high quality welding and production. And I underline production because without production, I cannot compete with other products or with stateside manufacturers. Another job on the slope. I could not put my own, I was absolutely told by actually a member of this of the board representing one of the unions. No way was I going to do that job without one of their men off of their crew. That's what, well, there was more than one man. Certified welder. The job finished up satisfactory due to excellent inspection. The reject rate prior to that, during the time I was up there, was over 40%. It came out of my pocket. I lost about $20,000 in that job. Why? Productivity. And not imperfect welds. The Bethel Tower job, the national board, ASME board, was very embarrassed in it. And of course the people responsible were long gone. They cooperated with me to bring in and certify my shop with qualified welders. And I had to qualify those welders specifically in the shop. my direct loss on that Bethel Tower, I think my contract was $20,000. My direct loss was $40,000. If the contractor that I worked through sues me for delay damages, I could lose $500,000. I cannot afford that. I have to have good welders. And I cannot depend on state certified welders. I do have inspection by your the state boiler inspector's office. On all vessels requiring coals. Now, some of the vessels do not have to be coaled because of size. Because I have to have quality to save those horrendous costs that I get into if anything is imperfect. I use the same high quality welders in all my work on deep pressure vessel or on the actual seams of the pipe. Now, actually, in my thermal ring pile, I have wells. Those wells are roughly 10 times the minimum strength required. I still have to have welders meeting the National Board requirements, even though in that case, almost anybody off the street could satisfy the structural requirement.
Mr. Long, I don't want to cut you off. I'm going to cut in about 5 minutes. I know I have a couple of questions I want to get to some of the other members there. Sir, have you expressed your problem to the board before, and if so, what results have you had?
I believe I did send in a letter last year. However, one of the running a business, when you get large enough, of course, you can have a staff to take care of that. I now have additional engineering and other help. I have gradually grown despite the problems I've had in growing pains.
So it's not a matter that whether be certified, the ones that you need a much higher quality is what you're saying, that you can't rely just on the board certification of welder?
Absolutely not. In addition, really I'm, my best welding, my pressure vessels I turn out are in violation of the law because here we have two state agencies claiming jurisdiction. I recommend anything that will improve welder training. But you cannot inspect good welds into a job. You've got to have a hell of a good welder or you just don't get what you need.
Has there been any comparison by yourself with some of the private schools and their techniques and the university, since you like the university welders, is that from Anchorage or Fairbanks Welding School?
I think that was from the Anchorage. I don't think, however, I understand one of the key men right now responsible there is working in Fairbanks.
You think there's a difference there in techniques of teaching or what?
Well, they are taught many of the other parameters that relate to welding, not just running a beam. And even that could be increased. I would like to actually see welding engineering training. There just isn't enough qualified people. And the fact is that in the industry, we have a hell of a time getting a hold of qualified people at any level. And we have to train because there's too much demand here for good people.
Is there any thank you very much, Mr. Long. I appreciate your testimony. And gentlemen, I think we'll adjourn the meeting for today. It's certain, yes, Mr. Long.
I'd like to point out two items.
Okay.
One item says earlier that AWS test anybody without a case the book. That should be elaborated on. The AWS has a minimum of 5 years experience requirement. So it's not fully inexperienced to take that test. Second item that I think needs to be clarified is Mr. Long said that the inspection of the thermal files in Seattle that was affected was signed off by an inspector. That was not a license. State lab license was inspected. It was an AWS and it was one of the persons. And thirdly, the conflict between the AFN and Board of Special Vessels Group and the board regulation is only because the AFN and Board of Special Vessels people refuse to take the test for welding inspection. Their test is not encompassed welding inspection. And they've asked us for an exemption from the inspection rule. And we said, well, if your test from the ASM Board of Special Vessels encompasses welding inspection to a degree that was acceptable to us, we would. But it doesn't, so we didn't. And so they were a little bit of off.
Thank you for clarifying that. Well, we'll give you one more chance, but we all got three meetings to go to.
No, but it's going to be a trouble, I think. The problems involved with the federal job. Federal jobs are exempt from state law. They may elect to if they wish, but they are exempt. One of the greatest failures I've seen is that way back in 1960 that the correct. And the foundation, tremendous welding job, and the air had no part in the welding. It was in the design of the structure. And that's why I reiterate, we need welding engineers, we need more good welders. We need less inspection.
Thank you very much. Thank you all very much for your lively discussion and expressing your points at the end. I think about mid-February we will have this again because our calendar is up to that time. And by then we should have given everyone a fair opportunity.
Could I make a motion?
Not now, sir.
We have this somewhere centrally located in the industrial area.
Well, we are trying to move the capital, sir, if that would help.
Yeah, but it's going to be a long time doing that.